Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Last episode, mics weren't working great, and I had a meltdown, and these guys were busting on me all day. So,
We sounded great though.
They did
for the most part. I cut out a couple times here and there.
Yeah.
So I said to him, "Can we please just redo this episode because it's such good content for us being upstate." The upstate golf guys and Freer Park being one of our home courses and RGB it being his home course for his loop. I just wanted a perfect episode for this content. So we kind of have an idea of what we're going to talk about because we already did it once. We're going to break down Freer Park hole by hole.
Take two.
It's going to be a better one, I promise you. So Freer Park in Troy, New York. It is 6,200 yards from the blues, 5,874 from the whites, 68 rating from the blues, 66.5 from the whites, and a 109 slope from the blues and a 106 slope from the whites. Roger, what would you say comes to your mind when you think of Freer Park? First thing, the golf course.
The greens. The speed of the greens. I mean, everybody... Yep. If you guys have been on my podcast, Anth, you were on there with your guys from the Golf Week, Adam and company, and you guys play a lot of different courses. And the one thing that everybody always says when they get to Freer Park, oh my God, these greens are so fast. A buddy of mine, Mike, he comes down at once or twice every year and he plays like Eagle Crest or like those Clifton Park courses. And then he'll come to Freer and he'll be playing great, but he'll three putt every hole. It's the speed of the greens. If you're not used to it, certain ways they break. I mean, there's a lot of movement in that along with the speed. So
yeah,
it's the toughest part of the course.
I tell everyone stay below the hole. They'll see the first hole and they'll be like, these greens aren't that bad, but two through eight, the greens are just like, yeah, one, they're just, they're being friendly to you on one.
Yeah, but your warm-up hole. The first hole, I always tell people, because there's not a driving range for your park.
First and 10th holes. The tenth is pretty. The green is pretty much easy too.
Yeah.
So one first and 10th, really they always start you out nice, and then
yeah,
kick you in the dick.
Yep. Basically. So the first hole, we'll start there. Since we were just talking about the first hole, it's the old road hole. You're one of the only holes that's out of bounds on the course. There's a couple other holes we'll talk about that are out of bounds. But if you go over the road, you're re-teeing. It's white stakes along the road on the left. And then the right, you got the hill. What's the safe play there, Roger?
You got to play it to the right. Listen, I literally play this course probably 5 to 6 days a week. And you watch a lot of other guys playing and good golfers, unlike myself. And a lot of guys play it to the right because it takes away the potential of going anywhere near the road and the cart path and causing trouble for yourself. And it also eliminates the bunker on the left side of the green. So you have a good approach shot going in for your second shot. really sets you up for success if you execute on your tee shot for sure. And you can make it you can get a good tee shot there. You're 150 to 120 yards out. It's a reachable second shot all day. So a great warm up hole, like I said.
Yeah, that left side bunker leaves you no room to work with on the green. Mm-hmm. If you end up hitting it, it's tough to get out of it.
That's true. That bunker on the left is a pain over there. So yeah, that's a good warm up hole. Now you go to one of my least favorite holes on the course, just because I have nothing but a nightmare on that green. It's the 183 yard par three. You get in trouble to the right. You got trees over there. To the left now, he's got that hill all grown in alongside of the green. Mike, you always find that hill, don't you, over there, Mike?
All the time. I live on it.
But he plays that bright red, or the bright green ball.
Usually so red, pink. Depends on what time of the year it is.
And we usually pick his out right, you know.
See, I'm colorblind. So if you were using a red ball, I cannot help you at all. I have no idea where that thing goes. Like, we were playing with Fairway a couple of weeks ago. He was using the red ball. I'm like, Mike, I don't even, once it goes off the tee, I don't even see it.
That explains why there's no color in your logo.
That's it. Black and white, baby.
All neutral red colors, eyes.
So yeah, I'm a kindergarten teacher. I'll tell you that. I got the story off the record.
So on the second hole there, I was at the end of the season. I told this the last podcast, but I had to say, this is how this green is literally. Mikey was with me. I was about 6 feet below the cup where you're supposed to be. And I just didn't give it enough speed going up that hill. And it stopped for a millisecond and then it rolled back to me and I lost 2 yards on the putt.
Had more than enough speed to roll down that hill though, huh?
Yeah, it did. Mike was laughing. Oh God, it's terrible. That green, you could literally throw it on that green and still double bogey.
The thing with the par threes at Freer too, none of them, like when you go to other courses, they're 125 yards, 140 right. yards. Freer Park, everything's 175 plus. Every par three.
Tough.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They definitely make the par threes tougher by adding that extra 20, 30 yards.
Nothing short. There's not one short one. I mean, you go out to Eagle Crest or you play Van Patten, and there's right. a couple, there's two or three 120, 130 yard par threes where you're pulling out your 9-iron, pitching wedge, and, you know, here, I mean, I think I use my hybrid almost every par three on the back nine because, especially, what is it, 13,
mm-hmm.
it plays so much longer. Everybody laughs at me when I pull my hybrid out, but they all come up short, and I get there with it.
On 13, we'll talk more about it when we get there, but it's a prideful thing. I'm not going to use my hybrid to hit 160 yards, blah, 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 blah. But when they pull out their 7-iron, they're not even on the green. So
no, they're 20 yards short of the green.
Yep. You see it a lot. You really do. A lot of guys are like, "Oh no, I'm gonna use my 6-iron or my 7-iron," and you're like, "All right, go for it. I'm gonna use my 4-hybrid, and I'm gonna be in the back of the green or middle of green, pin high."
Absolutely, Mike. What you say about clubbing up?
I always club up so you swing a little bit less.
Right,
which makes it easier.
Well, I think John Rahm said,
I don't care what everybody else is swinging.
John Rahm said it. He said, you know, You may hit your 7-iron 170 yards one time, but you know what? You flushed it. Yep. He said, you're not going to do that every time. Not the amateur golfers. No. So don't expect to hit it, you know,
so
clean.
Club up, and that way you're only getting it once.
Right.
For that one time that it doesn't go.
Right. Have you ever birdied the second hole?
Okay. I birdied it. One time that really stands out to me is, this was like 2 or 3 years ago. I was up there playing by myself, and there was a group of foursome in front of me, and they're like, "Oh, play through. And I kind of was just like in the midst of like actually like caring and trying to get good at golf. And I hit one. It was my buddy's father, who's a retired chief of police. And he knew I was starting to play a lot. And I stuck this thing like 2 feet from the pin. Like they're all thinking it's hole in one when I hit it. And literally 2-3 feet walk in. It's still a nerve wracking birdie putt from 2 or 3 feet on this hole, but I did tap it in for the birdie, and just the confidence I had walking off the green, I was like, yeah, everybody just seen that. But normally when you play through, you're like a nervous wreck and you expect the shank went to the woods.
Right. The worst is when you go from a birdie to a bogey.
Oh yeah.
Dude, a 6-incher on that green is a knee breaker. A 6-incher. Yeah,
everywhere on Fleer Park. I mean, there's not a, that's what, like with us on Sundays, I don't like giving gimme putts. So like when you guys do the golf week and everything's got to hit the bottom of the cup, I think I'm really going to install that rule to the PPP this year.
It's a good rule.
It is.
It keeps people from arguing. At the end of the day, it keeps people from arguing.
That's it. And we had an issue last year with some shaving of strokes and stuff like that. But it's just that way there's really no discrepancy.
Well, plus there's the always, is that good for me? It was good for you, you know? Yeah. And then how do you ever really measure it out? And then that's what happens is, you know, people start rolling their eyes because the gimmies get a little bit longer and longer. Just putt it to the hole. It does make it a better game. That's what the game was meant to be played, putting the ball to the hole.
And who doesn't love the sound of the ball hitting the bottom of the cup?
And you know, Mike, sometimes when you're struggling out there with the putter, when you do hear that sound, it's a game changer for you. It's a confidence builder.
It's definitely a booster.
I'm back. Let's do this. Yep.
I would agree 100%.
See, but real quick before we jump off of two, a lot of work was done on two. So he keeps messing with the ground screw, keep messing with that hole. They cut the left hill sometimes. They let it grow out. If that hill's like nice and cut, you can bounce it off that left hill where Mikey's going and try to run it up to the pin. But if he lets that grow in like he did late summer, early fall this year, you're in trouble. You're not getting out of there. It's a tough shot. It
sucks your ball right up and you're in there.
You're in there. Yeah, all the fescue now, you're in there. Like, there's no getting out of the fescue at Fleer Park anymore.
Nope. Nothing like driving down a midsummer right now on a Fleer Park with the way he's got that fescue growing in and the bunkers cut out beautifully. I mean, mm-hmm. It really is, like, picturesque when you're driving down Fleer Park Road. And I tell everybody, I think it's borderline country club condition and style. I don't know,
It sounds like we're homers, but like it's when people come to experience it, because like you tell people, oh, I'm playing a Fleer, they think of Fleer 7-8 years ago, Fleer, where there was temporary greens, you had grass burnt out. It was a shit show, to say nicely. It was a complete
big
shit
time.
Show.
Big time.
Now with the money they invested and the Greg Tudor with the grounds crew and Josh and everybody else.
Man.
The team they have up there is what's making the course great. That's really what it is.
100%.
Greg Tudor.
I got some quick news, though. I spoke to Josh today.
Okay. And
they're planning on opening the course earlier than ever before.
Well, I saw Greg was out on I saw he posted some pictures, and he was out there, and he said this like something similar. I mean, the course is in unbelievable shape for this time of year.
Yeah, I drove through Sunday. I mean, there's not sitting water on the course where 3 years ago we drove through, you could bring a bathing suit and take a dip.
That's what $2 million will do for you.
Plus no snow.
It was a big investment for the city.
Yeah, it was.
That's great news. I love it. So let's go on to three. 382-yard par four. They actually have this ranked as the third hardest hole on the course, which I was a little surprised about. I mean, I would put it in like the top 10 for sure, but I don't know about third hardest. It's long, but it's long, but I always overshoot the green. So how does that make sense?
So excuse me, it's a long hole, but it's a very difficult hole because it's not an easy second shot. And if you don't have a good second shot, your putt, no matter where you are on that green, it's a decent sized green. No matter where you are on that green, it's going to be trouble. You're not going to have a straight putt on that green any point in time. 2 inches to 20 feet, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are on that hole. The ball's going to be above your feet for the second shot.
That is true. That is true with the hill on the right side. But if you miss left, you're over by the second, you know, a little beyond the second tee box and second hole tee box, and you kind of have a clear shot. I actually like being over there. It's wide open and you're coming at the green, you know, below the cup. So I don't know.
It really depends on where they put the flagstick.
That is true, because there's like a little ravine in the there's a little ravine in that green. So
if you play it to the left there, that is a great look. It's just depending on where you get through those trees. If you get far enough left, you have a great look at it. You're going to have a little trouble with some trees depending on the time of the year, but that's honestly the best approach to that shot is going left on that hole. As crazy as it sounds, because you want to obviously hit it right down the fairway And if you play it to the right, you're going to get a roll off the hill to get you some more distance as well. So it's a catch 22. You really play it to where it lies.
They did a lot of work on that hole too, around that green on the third.
Oh, I love
sand trap on the right.
I love playing. Yeah, I love playing the apron he has on the right hand side there. If you could, hit that apron just right and it kicks onto the green, it just looks pretty. It really does.
It doesn't kick you too much because
the speed
of them greens, you roll right off.
Or a lot of the times too, I noticed last year is if you get to that fringe right there, sometimes it's staying there because it's soft and it's not rolling down to the green. So you got
to. That happened to me. Yep. So I mean, I don't know.
If you get out of here with a bogey, it's a good hole, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
All right.
So how many you guys don't see a lot of birdies on that hole, do you?
No.
I had one the last round when Henry Hunt played with us. I had one in that round, the one we won. But I had a crazy squirrely putt. Went down and, you know, I think, do you remember? I don't know if you'll remember where the pin, you played so many times there, but the pin was right in the middle of the ravine.
Okay.
And I just, you know, I lined it up the way I thought it was going to go. And, you know, I can't putt for shit. That's my weakest part of my game. I almost am better at the longer putts, to be honest.
This guy's changed putter grips probably 3 times in the past year, bro.
It's just in my head. It's so bad. So anyways, I just kind of, you know, it's that green is insane. So I just went up to it. I kind of lined it up and I gave it a ride and it broke right, broke left down the hill and right in the cup. But it was definitely a lucky putt. I mean, I'm not going to say I could do it again for sure. But, so we'll go on to,
you know, we're a quarter of the way through the gauntlet here.
Right. We'll go on to the fourth hole. This is my least favorite hole on the course. I said it before. If I'm having a good round, this is where I blow up. And it's not putting it down in on the right down the hill. I mean, you would think that's what I usually have a good drive. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I'll come up short on the false front green. And then my third shot, I'll either duff or I skull it over the green to the backside. Mike knows, he's laughing because he knows what I do on that hole. And I'm having like, I'll get out of those, you know, the really tough par three with a bogey. I'll par one.
Yep.
I'll bogey two. I'll par or bogey three. And then I'll triple four. And it's just like, what did I? And it's like, I'll have a good drive because I usually only put up, like, I'll put my six iron or my hybrid out there because I don't want to go down the hill. You lose it left in the trees. And I don't know. It's something about that green is intimidating, the way it sits up and the false front and the hill. And I just lose it around that green. I really do.
It's not an easy one to land. So, same thing as three. It's like your second shot. It's really like, there's no. Even with that hole, you kind of have to land the fairway because if you go left or right, you got overhanging trees on both sides. I mean, they did cut the one down on the left side.
Your next shot. Still,
you're affected. And it's almost better to like hit like a bump and run style shot up to that green and kind of let it hit the front of that hill and then slowly trickle on, opposed to like landing it and have it roll most likely to the right down the hill.
The green's like a plateau. It sets up higher than the rest of the fairway.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so you use that front edge as a backstop.
Exactly.
Help slow you down a bit so you don't run off that backside.
So me personally, I would almost swap. They have the third hole ranked third hardest and then that ranked the seventh hardest. I would swap those two. That's actually me personally. I don't know why, but I would swap those two. You're in trouble. Both, you can't miss that fairway. You're in trouble both. And if you miss left, I've had good drives that look great. And on dry days, the ball just rolls and then it dips down into that little dip and it's gone,
mm-hmm.
You know, down almost by the fence on five. It disappears quick over there.
Yep.
So it's tougher to
and that's
me.
The place you don't want to go is left over by the bench and stuff there too, because then you're really in trouble. I mean, you got nowhere really to flop it on there and it's a thick rough to the left side. So that's a tough spot to be in. I mean, it's gotta be a clean play. My buddy Jay, the co-host of the PPP, he actually goes 7-iron, 7-iron on that hole and pretty much lands the green consistently.
It's a smart move. It's a real smart move, actually. I might have to take a little lesson from him.
Yeah.
It's a good play. I thought he was joking one day. We're playing a league match. He's like, he was down a couple strokes and We were playing for some cash that day in the league, and he's like, I got to make up some room here. And sure enough, he went 7 irons. I'm like, dude, hold the 3 wood out, chip it up. He goes, no, this is going to give me a cleaner shot. And then that's actually the moment I started looking at golf a little bit different, more than just, oh, I got to hit it as far as I can. This is more of a strategic game. So,
yeah. Nice.
That's why Bryson DeChambeau isn't like the tits of the tits.
Right. You know, right. Absolutely.
It's not all about hitting it far. You got to have a nice short game.
So on to my favorite hole. I grew up just sneaking on the golf course playing just this hole. One of my, I don't know, something about it, the gully hole, the fifth hole. I love it. I've driven the green a few times. It's a scoring hole.
Yep.
The green does.
That's why you love it.
I do. The green does break left to right, but it's not as just not as bad as the previous greens that you just played on.
It's a little more forgiving.
If you stay out of the gully, you're in good shape.
But is it forgiving though? Because if that pin's tucked up on that left side or even down to the right, you're not going to really get one to sit in that little valley. Most likely it's rolling off of that backside of the green now, depending on the time of year too. That's a tough hole because that's a tricky hole. Because when you're on the tee, you're ready to grip it and rip it. Oh, I can reach the green. I can reach the green. But sometimes the 3 wood is the smarter play on that and lay it up to the front.
I need driver.
Yeah.
My 3 wood's definitely going in the gully.
Oh, yeah. Man, I go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
I rip it. I grip it and rip it. I mean,
for the green. It also, depending on what you did the previous 4 holes, is probably going to determine how you play this hole.
Yeah. Yep. So you got to try and score on the holes that you can score on, and this is one of them.
It's the most fun hole on the course for sure, I think. It's the most fun hole out there.
I absolutely agree. It's my favorite.
What's your rank on there, Ant? I don't have the card in front of me.
Ranked actually 15th, fourth easiest.
Yeah, that's
fourth
about
easiest.
Right.
I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, and then the sixth hole, they have ranked the next hole 17th, second easiest, and I think that's absolutely crazy.
I'd put that a little closer to the 10 area.
Yeah, so six is the softball field hole. Mikey loves this hole.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite.
He really does. He plays it well every hole. He puts it right out in the middle of the fairway. You see, Mikey, he's 150 in. That's where he's going to score.
Okay.
So some of the longer holes, getting off the tee, having to get out there. I'm not saying he struggles with, but
my driver sucks.
It does not suck, Mike, because it's consistent. He's out there. He hits the fairway 8 out of 10 times. It's just not long.
Right.
It's 225 to 240. I mean, I'm eating, Mike. You're not
gonna work on that swing speed.
You're not that much, you know, off with me. It's
but you know what though? At Freer Park, 220 is a good that's a good drive because you're not gonna get in trouble anywhere at 220.
But again,
and you don't need to put it out there as deep as everybody. It's all about the second shot.
Correct. Yep, it is. Freer Park is about the second shot and what you do with the flat stick. That's it.
Yep. Exactly.
150 in.
Yeah, I've seen eagles on this hole, actually. I've seen Fairway Mike actually eagled this hole last year. I have 2 eagles on this hole.
I have a couple birdies. I had a birdie in our tour when I was making that comeback, and I had I've had a few birdies that I could remember, but it's just where the pin is, and you got to really, on these greens, you got to putt it with confidence also.
Yes.
You can't be afraid, because the one birdie I remember only being like a foot and a half of my approach shot was beautiful. And I just went up to it. I said, don't be a pussy. I said, just fucking hit it in the hole.
If you're putting downhill, you're in trouble.
No, I was that's all. I was at the side. I was breaking. It was breaking right to left, but I knew if I didn't hit it, it was, you know, going to just, you have to hit the ball. It's even if it's breaking, even if it's a downhill putt, you got to put it to the back of the cup with confidence. You know,
you absolutely do.
It's definitely the most important part of putting. I mean, I come up short all the time, so who am I to say?
I seen one of the upstate golf guys I play a lot with, Brad, who's a member of both groups here. I seen him sink on that hole. The pin was up in the top right corner if you're looking at the green, and he was bottom left, and he sunk probably he was just back from his Achilles injury. He had to sink about a 45-50 footer, and he just stood there looking at us like, did I really just make that? Because he wasn't expecting to make it. He was hoping to get it close and maybe not roll back down the hill to where we were standing. and he ended up drilling it. He played good coming back from his injuries.
I was just gonna say that kid made an amazing comeback. Oh my god, he was out there with us in Vermont. He went for a trip with us, and he was playing with his boot on at Brattleboro. It was pretty incredible.
Crutches for him.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. Respect that. Hey, listen, if you love the game and you're hooked to it, yeah, I get it. I would be the same.
So when I got that text, Raj, I'm out for the year. I tore my Achilles. I felt so bad for him because leading up to it, me and him had a bunch of conversations of the plans for the year and traveling and doing all this and that. And I was like, oh man, this poor kid.
Yeah. Pick up game of hoop ain't gonna happen
anymore. No more. But yeah, the six has that other out of bounds spot over by the fence. So you want to stay. I lay up on this hole. I always use my six iron, even a seven iron type thing.
I'm a little riskier on this hole. I actually either pull out the three wood sometimes, or I'll go three hybrid and try to just put it up there next to there's a bunker straight ahead off of the tee, and I try to play it just left of that. I have a slight draw. So I try to aim right at that bunker, and hopefully the draw takes it, runs it towards the green for me.
Nice.
But the one thing, Ant, with the out of bounds, a new out of bounds in place. I forgot to mention this when we did it the first time, on five, on the right side of the gully there in the hill. Now, if you don't get up to the top of the hill, there's white stakes all the way up. If you make the hill, it's red, so you can take the drop from up there. But on the right side, if you don't get up to the top of the hill, you're trouble, and you're hitting three off the tee.
Wow. Okay. Good enough.
Yeah, it was just put in midway through last year, right around the county.
Okay. Yep. So, I mean, once you get past six, well, there's two more really tough greens, and then you're scot-free. We're on to seven. You cross the road, Freer Park Road, and it's a pain in the ass par five, but I love it. It's a fun hole. You want to avoid the corner unless you want to try to go through the woods. He did clear that out. I went for it a few times. Roger, you were saying
risky.
You could punch through with like a seven iron if you're at that corner.
Yeah. So I actually won my league last year. We did a tournament for the last 3 weeks of our league, and I was down three strokes going into the last round, and we were playing the front nine. So I only had 2.5 holes to go at this point. And I didn't know what the other guy had because he went out early. And it was me, fairway, and my man Hank. And I look at these guys, and they're usually the ones who talk me out of the crazy shit I'm trying to do. Like, Raj, let's, you know, just punch this out. Hank looks at me and goes, "You trying to play championship golf?" I said, "You know what, Hank, I'm gonna." So I seen a guy I play with early in the season, hit a seven iron. He probably hits the same distance as me. And he's like, "If you get it up through there, you can clear it and end yourself up with a nice shot." So I grabbed my 7-iron, which I hit about 165 to 175, and I hit this thing so clean, so smooth. I clipped one leaf on the way through, and I was like, I really don't think that affected it. I get up there. This thing's literally 25, 30 yards off. I'm like, wow. Nice. I caught the angle perfect. Like, it was just really good shot. I look at these guys, and I turn around with confidence. I'm like, that's championship golf. Not even knowing where the ball is at that point, but just that I got it through. Ended up with a birdie on that hole, and I actually won by two strokes pretty much because of that hole.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, he really, really made that tempting to go through that now that he cut a couple trees down.
The one tree in the middle that he took out is all the difference. It
entices the shit out of you, making you go for it through that.
Yeah.
But once you get to the green, what do you think about that green now, Roger, after you fixed it up a little bit? I mean, it's a little easier, but I wouldn't say it's easy at all. It's still one of the top five hardest greens on the course.
Yeah, I think it's the second hardest green. Personally, it's very difficult to keep it where you want it to go, because if you hit that ball too hard, you're paying for it. So, and I'm talking like certain times you can literally tap this thing. Shout out Chubbs, RIP. You could tappy tap tap, and it's gonna roll off the green, and you're grabbing a wedge to come back up. And it's you literally go from putting to chipping on this hole sometimes. I've seen a lot of guys do it. I've done it myself. But if you do keep it on the green and end up with a decent approach shot, like you were saying, Ant, you want to be below the hole, especially on this hole.
That's what I said last time. My favorite way to approach this hole is make the corner.
Yep.
And then just put it below the hole on the left side, over in between the eight tee box and the green, and attack the green that way, because coming at it any other way, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's still kind of like four where you're hitting it uphill, but it's not as difficult to land that green. You're more worried about it coming back to you opposed to rolling it every which angle.
Right. I mean, I'm always up by the like the little wall in between, you know, by the bench.
Yep.
And that's a nightmare. You know that is trying to get the
worst out of that hole, buddy.
Yeah, it is, because you're coming back down.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have a film with a flop shot and you can spin it.
You have to spin it. I've had like one of the nicest, softest flop shots from there. Don't matter. You have to spin it. You definitely have to spin it. But yeah, that's it's a fun hole. I love it. I really it's a fun hole.
It's exactly where you got to get your cameras out, take pictures, because it's the most picturesque hole in Fir Park.
Oh, absolutely.
Sunsets.
Oh, I love it.
Mountains in the background, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
You can see what the Catskills, and then there's the next what's the next line of mountains? There's like two lines of mountains.
I'm not even sure. I just know
I know what you're talking about, Amp, but I cannot remember the name of it right now.
Yeah. But anyways, that is the seventh hole. And now the eighth hole, they have ranked the hardest, which I don't know. I don't know about that. It's definitely the green is deceiving. That's what I would say. That's what sticks out to me about this hole. I've had approach shots that look beautiful, and it just doesn't stop rolling. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, where are you going? Stop rolling. Like, it's a really nice flop shot into the green. Just roll. It's breaks left to right hard, and it doesn't look it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if this is ranked. Sorry, Mike. I don't know if this is ranked as the first hole, because I heard there used to be a tree. I don't know. And you played this course for a long time. I heard there used to be a tree in the middle of a fairway on eight. Don't know if that's true or not.
I don't remember it in my lifetime.
Okay.
I don't recall it.
Yeah.
He's been playing longer than I have, so.
Yeah, I heard there was a tree there. That was part of the reason that was ranked the hardest hole. I got a feeling some of this is going to change because of the upgrades to the course. We should be getting a new scorecard coming out with the new gradings of the course and all that. So we'll have to take that into consideration of what we're talking about now too. But eight is definitely, I think, the hardest hole, just because it is by far the hardest green on this course to land. There's really not a safe play. It's really not a safe play on this course.
Yeah, you can't land it. Where is there? Is there literally anywhere to land it where it'll stick unless you land it with spin again, which I can't do as an amateur. I can't spin the ball.
You got to land it on as crazy as it sounds. You don't even aim at the green. You aim at the fringe and the left, because no matter what, it's going to kick right. But if you go 3 feet too far left, you're in the rough to the left, and you got that same shot you just had on seven coming back down that hill, and you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Yeah, that's wild, man. That is wild.
Let me ask you. You don't think that's the hardest? What is you?
What's that?
Did you already go through did we already pass the hardest hole in the course for you? Is that coming up?
I actually had, where did I have it? I had seven ranked as my hardest.
Okay. Yeah. 1A, 1B.
And then my second hardest, I got that on. Actually, I have 17 as my second hardest, but that's just because I always have a hard time on 17, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Mike, what would you say is your hardest hole, is the one you always have a hard time with that we've been through so far anyways?
I'd have to say it's the par threes, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Par threes just get in my head. I'm always in my head thinking, oh, I'm going to green this. Yeah. And then I shank it.
Yeah.
Par threes.
I mean, the par threes, again, like we said before, on Fear Park are all long and the greens are pains in the ass, so... I would agree with that. Speaking of, we're going on to a par three that is a real tough one. It looks, again, this is another one that looks shorter than it is. People pull their seven irons out, eight irons.
I caught this, dude.
And I mean, honestly, I have got when the box is up, I have gotten there with a seven iron. But when the tees are back. I use my hybrid on this hole too, as well. It's 173. I don't know. It plays like it's 190 to me. I don't know.
Hey, can I tell you something crazy? I use actually a pitching wedge on this hole.
What?
A pitching wedge to it. That's why I was smirking when you were saying that. I use a pitching wedge to a nine iron.
Okay.
Because the reason I do that is I can reach the green with those. Depending on, like you said, if it's up where the blues used to be, there's no shot of me making it with a pitching wedge or a nine iron. I'll go up eight or seven. But now that they're up a little bit, I will use the pitching wedge of the nine because I don't have the effect of going long and risking myself running off of that slope to the right and then off the back side of the green.
You'd rather be short.
I'd rather be short on this hole.
Well, I have the best shot I had was with the seven iron, and I played that curtain on the left side, and it took it. I think it's the only time I actually stuck that green. But just I can never get it there on the par threes. They just play so much longer to me in my mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 4th of July 2 years ago, stuck one about closest I ever came to a hole in one, about less than a foot, about eight inches. It went behind the pin so we couldn't see it. And then I'm like, I don't know. And then we drove up and I was like, oh,
did you kick off the curtain and it rolled by type thing? Or yep,
rolled right yeah, that's up the left side. This was before the remodel, so the old way. And played it up the left, rolled right down to the middle of the green where the pin was, and it just snuck right behind it on me. Unfortunately, I thought I couldn't see it. So we're all like, dude, is that in? And we get down there. I'm like, man, I gotta keep playing.
Man.
Speaking of hole in one, we should go backtrack. You guys had one on your Sunday loop, right? On two?
Big Steve. Yeah, Big Steve had one on two, man. Steve was on the podcast this past week. He is, if you guys listen, parental advisory for sure with this guy. He's the type of guy you never know what's going to come out of his mouth on a golf course. But yeah, he hit a hole in one. He was pissed off on the first hole. We were doing a two-man scramble. We had teams. And he had a feud with one of the guys that used to play in with us. And there was a comment made, don't know really what was said, but Steve got pissed. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Steve's going to have a day. And he's an emotional roller coaster as it is. So he gets up to the tee box and he has a very set routine. Like he's going to take his two practice swings as hard as he can. He's going to move his grip and he's going to walk up to the ball and he's going to hit it. He did none of that. He walked up to the ball. I don't even know if he knew what club he had, to be perfectly honest with you. He walks up and just hits the ball. And now this is on two. So I'm to the left. And I can't really see the pin because it's tucked left top corner. And my buddy Bob is off to the right, along with Steve's partner, Kevin. And we're looking. And Steve literally hit the ball and started walking back to the cart. Didn't even look. We're like, yo. And he kind of started getting a little excited. And Bob's like, dude, that's in. One bounce, rolled about 3 feet, disappeared. We go up there. I got it on film. I actually just posted it yesterday. And this guy, he's the goofiest guy in the world, but one of the nicest people I've ever met. Give you the shirt off his back. And he celebrated. He didn't know how to celebrate because it was just so like, holy shit. I was just so mad 2 seconds ago. Now I'm just the high point of my life right now. So Steve's a great dude. Great guy to have play golf with. Very, very comical to say the least. But yeah, that's the second one I've seen. First one I freer, second one I've ever seen.
Amazing. I love it. Absolutely love it. All right, let's move on to the 10th hole. This is where I actually have some really good luck. I birdied this hole quite a few times. I have a lot of pars on it. It's one of the easier holes on the course, I think. They have it ranked the fourth hardest hole. Why?
I don't understand what? That.
They have it ranked number four. Right? Am I seeing it right? Yeah. Yep. They have it ranked the fourth hardest hole. Yep.
I don't know why, because it's you're never in trouble even off the drive. You do it left, you're in the other fairway.
In 18,
you do it right, you're kind of
you're right in 11. By the cart path. You're in 11. Yep.
So your second shot's always going to be a decent shot, no matter what.
Yes. Again, this I mean, it doesn't really play long. Dude, when I birdied this hole at the amateur tour, I hit off the cart path. I ended up being like almost pin high. I smoked the drive. I got a bounce. The bounce probably another 40 yards, and I had a little chip. Ended up about 10 feet. Nice uphill putt, and I just nailed it. I ended up taking a nice skin for that. That was where Mike yelled at me because I did a fist pump because I was watching the guys after me miss. I was making sure
did a fist pump at the dude after he missed. He like fist pumped right there.
Listen, I was making an epic comeback after a 2-day tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. I just figured I won some at least a couple hundred bucks with a skin.
Yep.
And I was just pumped up. I mean, I will say now that it was a dick move. But
I would have punched in the face if it was me.
Mikey was laughing. Mikey was laughing and yelling at me at the same time. He's like, what are you doing,
dude? That's the type of shit we do on Sundays. Like, we show up. I want guys to talk shit. So that's the thing with me. I'm a football, baseball, basketball guy. I hate the fact that, like, the etiquette and all this shit. I love
talking. You can't do that on a tournament. This was a tournament, dude.
Yeah, I probably still would, though, Mike. That's just because who I am. I love talking shit. So it kind of it gets me motivated. It actually locks me in more. So, like, for example, me and my buddy Bub, we people who don't know us and play with us think we fucking hate each other. We're like, he's one of my closest friends. So
right here.
Yeah, as your guys, our text message today had me on the floor because it was reminding me of me and Bub. But like, people ride with us and like, he'll miss a putt. I'm like, oh man, hate to see it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll say something like that. There's a video. This is a funny story. So real quick, me and him would battle it out. And there was a stretch over the summer where I beat him like, and granted, he plays once a week. I beat him like 10 times in a row. So we're going into 17. He's up like 5 strokes, right? I get one back on 17 or 2 back on 17. So I'm up 3 going into 18. I birdie. So he's got an opportunity for birdie. And he's got strokes to play with. He gets on the green to putt and birdie for 3. He 4 putts 18. It's all on film. And I'm sitting in the golf cart recording the whole thing, talking shit.
Well, like, back and forth, just
chuckling to the camera, huh?
The whole time. I'm like, oh, don't blow it, Bob. Don't blow it. Then he misses like a probably like an 8-footer for birdie, misses it, rolls it past the hole. I don't know, maybe a good 6 feet, rolls it back about 4 feet back. I'm like, dude, I still give you any of these. You got to make these. And he missed all 4. And he's like, oh, the last one, he's like, it hit my foot. I'm like, buddy, you missed that shit.
Wow.
But to me, he missed that shit.
Wow. Yeah, no, I get the yips putting a lot. I really do. That's my biggest downfall. I said before, I suck at putting. I'll get on in regulation, I don't know, 60, 70% of the round, but I cannot score at all.
I think putting's my strong suit just because of how well I know Freer Park screens. At Freer Park, anyway, putting
is my strong suit. Well, that helps. Absolutely playing there 18 million times a year.
50-50. Like,
dude, I probably pay for my membership. I probably pay like a penny around the amount of times I play.
Wait, you sick bastard. I love it. This guy goes to work at 2 a.m. so he could get his shit done and get around by 8 in the morning.
I'm there. I go in the summertime. I'll go in at like 2, 3, be out by 11, play 18, get my quick. Even in the spring, I'll do that, get my kid off the bus for 4 o'clock. So.
Perfect, man. Listen, I would do the same thing if I had that opportunity. All right, let's move on to the 11th hole. I would agree where they have this ranked. This is ranked 16th, so the third easiest. I would put it right up there with one of the easiest holes on the course. It's a reachable par 5. Now, if you carry that bunker, it kicks off really nice. I always get lucky and get a nice kick off that bounce, and I'm always about 200 out on my second shot.
Yep.
Now with that 3-wood, man, I'll have no problem getting there.
You've been hitting that really well.
I know. So I'm really looking forward to playing these shorter par 5s at Freer Park.
I want him to keep talking shit about it, so when it comes time, he blows up.
Yeah, mushed.
You know?
Yeah, he was going to be like, Mike, you want to buy this off me?
That's what he's hoping. He'll get it for cheap.
Yeah, right.
Get it for cheap. But yeah, I mean, it's a 478-yard par 5. Again, it's just if you hit that hill by the sand trap in the fairway, and you carry that, you're going to kick off that nice, especially on a nice dry summer day. Mm-hmm. You're going to get some roll out of it.
I actually play that to the left side, Ant.
You do? Okay. Yeah, well, over by
because now they got the bunker up there to the left of the green. Yep. So with that being to the left, I try to hit my tee shot to the left, and then my second shot, I try to hit up to the right side, so I eliminate that bunker.
Yeah. Okay. No, and he took all those trees down on the left side now too. So I mean, even if you miss left going for it that way, you still have a wide open second shot.
Huge track.
You're really pretty safe. That's why I think again it's one of the easiest holes on the course because you really can't get in trouble off the tee.
It is a wide open.
You miss right, you're gonna go down in the in between the cart paths down in the little. It's rough, but it's a par 5. Yep. You know, you'll get out there for a decent third shot from there.
You got the big trees blocking you, a little swamp area, but
yeah, you'll get out though. I'm down there a lot. It's not terrible.
I'm usually over there.
So, and then, yeah, I mean, then the green really is, it's kind of an uphill approach shot green. So you could really run it up there and attack the pin.
This is a pin placement. Depending on the pin placement really determines how you play this hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would agree. I've played this hole just because it's, the way the green is uphill and the approach. I mean, I've done a little you know, bump and run from like 60 out and just kind of ran it up there. And it it works out, you know, doing a bump and run there too for your third shot. Because, you know, I really very rarely get it there in two. So even when I nut my second shot, I'm still about 50 out.
Yeah.
So that's where I like doing that bump and run there and just kind of, you know, almost like a putt. You're putting it from 50 out, the old Texas wedge.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
use that Texas wedge all day. I'm not afraid of it.
I love it. Absolutely.
Utilize it.
Yeah. I mean, I was for a while, a couple of years ago, I haven't done it, but I was using my hybrid as like a putter from like 50, 60 out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I do it, I usually, use like a seven iron, put it off the back foot and just, you know, a quarter swing and just, you know, just like a putt, just like a little, you know, mix between a putt and a
putt and chip.
Yeah. Basically.
Who's the man? If you ever want bump and run lessons, hit up my man Fairway. He's the best in the bump and run I've ever seen.
I feel like the old guys know how to bump and run better than anybody.
You're not good at that, getting the ball up in the air and the flop shots. They literally just hit it, bump it, and run it.
Mike, remember we played with that one guy, and he looked so awkward. He really did around the greens, and it looked like he was going to skull everything. But I don't know if he had spin on it off of the first bounce. But, I mean, he put it – he played that bump and run. Mm-hmm. His first – off the club, it looked like he was killing it. But it took one bounce, died,
Is that the club he made you go out and?
No.
I remember that special.
That was like 7-8 years. That was cheesy, though, dude. I don't even know why, but it was like played this other guy. He's like, yeah, dude. He goes, check out this club I got, and I did like it at the time because I sucked at golf, and it was like it was a mix between. I don't even think it's a legal club to have in your bag.
No, it's like the club Fairway uses to hit that shot. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like a putter wedge.
Yep.
It's like
a mix. It almost looks like a double ended.
Yeah.
Putter.
It's like got both sides. It has the mallet and then
on the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, I had it in my bag.
Dude, cracked that out. I was like, what the hell is that thing?
But no, that wasn't the guy I was talking about. But that was funny too. Those clubs are hilarious.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the back nine is really your scoring thing. So like the first two holes, you definitely have the opportunity to really make up for some strokes you lost on the front going into, you know, from the gauntlet from 2 to 8 really is the gauntlet. You can make up. This is a birdie hole. I mean, 10's a birdie hole. So opportunity to make up some strokes in these first two holes in the back nine,
I think is easier than the front nine.
Oh, absolutely. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
By far.
Absolutely. This is my favorite hole of the course. I said this before, I would have this ranked as one of the easiest. I actually have it ranked as the easiest. I have it ranked number 18, 12. It's that dog leg left. You don't want to go too long off the drive. You put it into the woods, but mm-hmm. I always put my 3-wood out there, and I don't know. I love this green. I just play it off the tee really well. I might be biased on this hole because I play it so well, but I think it's pretty. They have it ranked 12, so I'm not too far off.
No, I think it's pretty easy. I mean, it's one of the easier holes on the course, I would say.
They got two sand traps protecting the green. That's the only thing that I would say is the challenge with this hole.
And one on the fairway, well, in the rough to the left side, right where a lot of people land their ball. So you see a lot of people in that trap for their second shot. The fairway. Yeah.
But I just love. I've scored many times on this hole. I usually always come out with at least a par. The green is
flat.
There's no green on Freer Park that is a piece of cake. But it's definitely one of the easier greens.
This is, in my opinion, the easiest green on the hole on the course.
You think so?
Yeah. There's not a lot of movement. It's it since they redid it a little bit more movement. It does slope a little bit, right to left down towards like a false front in the front left side.
Yep.
But besides that, it plays pretty true. It really does play pretty true.
Word. So yeah, I mean, now we're on to another one of Mikey's favorite holes.
This hole.
fucking
par three.
Another par three with
always put it off to the right in the fucking
the rough
in the wetness.
Yes, you do.
It's always soggy over there on the right.
You do, and it's always I don't know something about this hole that always plays way longer. We were talking about it earlier. You said you see guys pulling a 7-iron out and come mm-hmm. up 30 yards short. Yep. I definitely use my hybrid on this hole. And it's funny, because so this hole is 178, okay, and the ninth hole is 173 on the card. So yeah. You would use your nine iron on the no. I mean, see that it's just the way.
So that one, the ninth hole is we're elevated.
You are elevated, correct.
So now we're hitting uphill. So I will use a seven iron on this hole, though.
Okay.
I'll use a six and a seven. But same thing. I'm trying not to get in trouble. I'm trying to stay away from the bunker to the left, and I don't want to sail it off the back. So I can work from the front of the – I prefer to work from the front of the green than out of the rough and find myself in the trouble.
Yeah, I just love that hybrid. I choke up a little bit, and I could cut it down to 180 yards if I want.
Yeah, I use my four hybrid.
Depending on the weather, if the wind's swirling, I would go for a hybrid. Yeah,
I could control my hybrid from if I choke down, I could hit it about 180 to 185, and then if I full swing, regular grip, I could get out to 200 to 205. So I could really play the hybrid for multiple shots. I love that club.
Yeah, that's my seven iron. That's how you see me at the simulator when you gave me those clubs. I was ripping that seven iron 180 200 yards.
Yeah. Yep. So let's go on to the next hole, 14. They have ranked the second hardest hole. Greg says he thinks it's the first hardest. That long par four, I don't know. I don't think it's hard, one of the hardest, because, again, you can't get in trouble at all. You miss right, you're on 15.
Play from either fairway.
I mean, well, if you miss left, you're behind.
The trees are going to give you a problem coming back over, but.
You miss left, you're behind the tee box. You're not even on another fairway. But it's safe over there. I don't know. I would have it ranked definitely one of the top 10 hardest, because like you said, the wind's always in your face.
Always in your face.
Plays too. That really does play long. I'm always hitting my second shot like 175 out, even after a good drive.
Yeah.
So I could see it. I understand, but just the green isn't really that. The green, I don't know.
Another thing with this hole is the same as kind of 11. It all depends on where the pin's placed for the difficulty. I think it's the hardest hole in the back, personally, just because of the wind factor and the length of the par four. But if you can get it there and you're a long ball hitter, it's not that difficult of a hole. It really just comes down to execution on your second shot.
Yeah, I mean, I usually come out of this hole with a bogey. I definitely have never scored on it, so I could see why it's one of the harder holes compared to some other holes I score on quite often. And yeah, it's definitely, I would put it like seven or eight hardest on the course, I think.
On the course, sure. Yeah.
On the course.
Yeah. I'm just glad that hole's not on the front nine, because not too many people would be breaking 50.
Right. True. All right, let's
got to give Tudor props for doing a lot of work on the middle of that fairway in 14 too.
Well, it's dry now.
13. You guys remember a couple years ago walking across 13 after rain and it'd be a big bubble in the middle of the
Yeah, I lived over there. Yeah,
it was like a sponge.
It was a sponge, yeah. And then the improvements these guys did to the course and Greg and everybody else, man, it's top of the line. It's some of the best. It's the best course in the area, in my opinion.
Carmella, if you hear this, give those boys a raise.
No doubt. Couple of
absolutely. Fair Park, it's money well spent. That's for sure.
From what I heard, isn't that one of Troy's biggest revenues for a Park off course?
Yes.
I believe it's the second biggest revenue in Troy for.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's well deserved to, it was due for some money.
It was absolutely for sure. Due for an upgrade, man. I mean, literally years ago, there was temporary greens on 7 and 8. You were putting into a circle. It was like,
it was a nightmare. I remember it was terrible. I used to be embarrassed to say it was my home course, but yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll go back to the 14. I guess seven. What would you say it's ranked on the overall? Not back nine, the whole course. Where they just did all the drainage, what Mikey was saying. Props to
7 to 10.
Okay.
What do they got? They got it ranked as the second hardest.
Right, and Tudor said he thinks it's the first hardest. So
I think it's really because of the length and the wind.
He knows best. Listen, don't.
Hey, yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
don't question the boss.
Absolutely. Right?
And listen, he'll make it harder for us.
Respectfully disagree, but
we better not say that any holes are easy, and he hears us, because he'll make those holes a lot harder if he
Sundays hears will be impossible pin tournaments.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. This next hole is one of my favorite. Again, I love all the par fives on Freer Park. They're these ones on the back nine especially are reachable. The interesting thing about this hole is you could play it really from three fairways. Roger, you were telling me your buddy actually prefers to play it from 14. Tell me a little bit about that.
So my buddy Neil, he's probably like a 5 to 7 handicap when he's playing. He just started a new job, so he didn't play a lot of golf last summer. But prior to that, he's basically the guy who taught me how to play golf. And I remember I used to slice the ball drastically. He's like, dude, it's not a bad shot. It's not a bad shot. I'm like, well, for my second shot, it's a bad shot. But no, I get what you're saying. And then I started looking at what he was doing. So he'd hit it over there with me as well, just about 75 yards further. And he would take like a hybrid or like a 5-iron, whatever. And he would most likely land the green on his second shot from a little over 200 out. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, why are you hitting it over there? I had to ask him. It was one of those things. And he does this on one as well. He plays it to the right because he eliminates the bunker. And he goes, I can see the hole. Now, if you hit this ball dead smack 220, 230, whatever, 260 down the center, you're not going to see the hole.
You got that big hill in front of you.
Yeah, you got a huge hill in front of you. So you're literally aiming at a flagpole and a telephone pole are your targets. So now if you hit it over to the right, obviously, depending on where the pin is, as long as it's not tucked up in the front left corner, you can see where you're going. So in that case, it just gives you a better look. Even if you don't reach the green, your second shot is giving you a reasonable look for your third shot. So the right side is not a bad play on this hole. The left, I feel like you're going to find yourself in a little bit more trouble with the trees. But you can literally, on the right, you can hit it up to the other tee box and just play from there. And it's not a bad shot from 75, 80 yards out. So
yeah.
Smarter play anyways.
Yeah.
I tell people, it's funny. I told all the Golf Week guys about that. I shouldn't have told them the tip. I said, cause they've never played Freer Park. They're all, a lot of them are out of towners. And I said, if you do hit it over there, I said, play.
Anthony's at the first tee box area, giving these guys all kinds of
pointers. No. I just said,
giving our competition pointers. No. I thought, guys, the greens are going to be fast. So,
Listen. I felt like I needed to give them a few home field pointers, but
you should have walked up to them and been like, "Guys, you guys, hope you guys brought your putter because you're gonna learn today."
Yeah, I should have busted balls a little bit, but I'm too nice. But yeah, I told them to play up right off that fairway if they hit over. They don't try coming back through the trees. Basically, you don't need to. There's no need to. But yeah, I've scored on that hole a few times. I have had an eagle on that hole. It was a long squirrely putt. I was in the back. I crushed my 3-wood. It was a nice dry summer day. Probably skipped to the back right green. And I lived on Humiston, so I used to just go out there and putt that hole. I used to just bring like 15, 20 golf balls over there, and I would just putt that hole. So not saying that helped me, but I definitely knew the break from the spot, and I nailed it. It was a nice eagle putt. One of my only eagles on Freer Park. I've missed quite a few opportunities, including a short putt on the fifth hole. I drove that green and missed an eagle putt. My buddy Charlie was with me. That was one of my eagles I missed. So it was a disappointing birdie.
I was going to say, you finished with a birdie though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it was Roger, it was like a two foot eagle putt, man. I mean,
knees clanking.
I just pushed it. Just right off the bat, I knew. I said, nope.
Just like you said.
But earlier, I mean, it was a one arm tap and birdie.
Just like you said earlier, Raj, those are the type of things that you can't give gimmies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Two little 2-footer. Everybody's like, oh, that's a gimme.
That's what like, funny is we putt birdies and pars automatic putt. Reasonable, like a couple inch bogey, you know, a little tap in. Okay. But now to the point where like everybody complains so much, we're hitting the bottom of the cup this year. That, I mean, you guys solidified it for me pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I used to come out, we have a little trail, that used to lead right to my house, and me and Mikey would take smoke breaks when the course was all backed up and rip it right over to my house. So it was convenient being right on the golf course there. Oh, no. It was nice.
That was nice.
And I
be able to rip right over and get cold drinks.
Yep.
Right to us.
Well, I have had my wife, you know, walk over with Maya. She was younger at the time. I said, hey, you want to meet us at the trail and bring us some drinks? And you know, summer, in the middle of summer on a Saturday, so she's outside anyways.
Park girl isn't always up to par.
Yeah, well, no, the weekends are tough with the cart girl situation. They've been having trouble getting someone to do that. But the girl, the new girl they had this year during the week, Jules, the
dude,
best.
There's so much money that could be made. I feel like I don't want to get into it.
This could
I feel like that they just miss out, and it's between them not coming around early enough. I mean, I said if I ran that restaurant, I would be out on the cart with a pot of coffee. Mm-hmm. Pot of coffee and seriously at 7:38 in the breakfast sandwiches. I'd be rolling around. Anybody want a nice hot cup of coffee on a cold fall morning? Yeah. I would buy three cups by the back nine.
Sure.
I would just and they don't have even and then you got your alcoholics that'll love a beer at 10 a.m., 10:30, 11 a.m. They don't get out there until number one. They don't. I don't know if you noticed that they don't get out till late.
They don't come out till 10 on the weekends.
What time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. All right. Yeah. So by the time they see you, it might be 11:30. You know what I mean? By the time they actually get
seven,
to
though, your round's over.
Right.
7 a.m. tea time. You're already done.
Yeah. So that's another episode, like Mike said. I mean, I've talked to Greg about this. There's nothing
hopefully,
he can
hopefully
do.
Hopefully, they'll get this settled because food.
Yeah, it really is a missed opportunity for not only the golfers, but for the restaurant. I mean, they open up that little hut on the turn. You know, that's huge. Like I had buddies, they came out for my birthday. We had a big event. It was my 40th birthday this past year. I had 20 guys out there and they ordered food, not knowing because they never played there and thinking they're going to grab it at the turn. Well, you don't go back to the clubhouse or the restaurant or the clubhouse at the turn. So they didn't pick it up till 4 hours. They picked up bacon, egg, and cheese 4.5 hours later. I'm like, buddy, you didn't really go back and get those, did you? I would have went and got a hamburger or something.
But, they're eating a 4-hour-old bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah, it's
crazy. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's something that is an easy fix, yeah. And they will fix that. But, yeah, let's move on to the 16th, which I think is one of the easier holes. You can miss right. You're in a big patch of rough. If you miss left, you're along a line of trees. It's a pain in the ass being over there. I'm over there a lot. If you have to do a punch shot out of there because of all the hanging branches. They put a new bunker in the middle of that fairway.
I hate that bunker. That's where I land.
Yeah,
that's my bunker.
Yeah, you. I actually think a safe spot. I aim right, and if you miss right, you're in that. They have a huge patch of rough on the right side of the cart path, and it's really not a bad place to be. I mean, it's a short hole, so you could really get it out of that rough. You can muscle it right to the green.
Uphill green. So you got uphill green.
Well, that's why. And if you're over in the trees and you got to do a bump and run, I mean, running it right up to the green is really no problem. You just got to avoid that trap, and obviously you don't.
No, not too often. Not too often. Later on in the year, though, because I didn't have that draw that you guys are seeing now until probably mid to late August.
Roger, I'm excited. Not to interrupt. I am excited to see you get out there and play this year, dude. From what I've been seeing in the Sims, and then just what I saw outside this last week, dude. I don't know if you slowed your swing up a little bit, you were crushing it, dude. This kid was putting it out there 265, 270, but they looked pretty. I mean,
first shot. I walk up there. I didn't take a warm up swing. I didn't do anything. Did a couple just to get loose, not like a real swing, dude. I hit this thing so flush, so clean. We're playing Mohawk River. There's a bunker probably 260 ish to the right side.
I've never played it, so.
I'm going right at it. Starts to slightly draw. I end up, I'm thinking it's going to plug up there somewhere. I walk up. It's sitting flush about 200 yards out on the par five. I'm like, I just crushed that thing. And it's January, so it's freezing.
Right. It's January, cold. So
that's what I mean. I'm excited to see what you're going to do in the summer.
Go even further.
I'm excited to see you in the summer.
My short game is my struggle. I have a tough time chipping. I watch a lot of guys. Like, Bob's a real good chipper.
Can't wait for April.
I can't wait, man. We're almost there.
We really are
almost there. It is so close.
Are you up to 95% yet for the Cape? I mean, you were at 90% the other day.
As we get off this recording here, I'm probably going to partly have that little bit more of that conversation, test the waters, dip my toe in a little bit.
Okay. Listen, it's content. You got to tell her it's content. You know what?
It's really going to help if we just shout out. We got to take a shout out, though, real quick to Jeff and the Golfer Gang Network for teaming both of us up with the brand. I think it's a great opportunity. So if all goes well with that, man, I don't think she'll have a reason to say no. So
I agree. I'm loving it, man. I really am. He's a great guy. I don't know if he reached out to you first, saw me first, whatever happened, but yep. I'm so happy that we're all working together and we're going to be working with even other podcast golf lovers. And we could all network together. I mean, I love this little messaging app we got that we could all kind of talk. I got to get Mikey on there. See if we could link him up on there.
Yeah. You can figure that out. That's a good thing about Jeff. I had an issue today. I was trying to figure out something on StreamYard. I shot him a message. 2 minutes later, he's like, just DM me, got me on the StreamYard and talked me through the whole thing.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Really good dude. He knows his shit. This is what he does for a living. I'm really excited to work with him. I think he's going to teach us some stuff for sure. Absolutely. And he's a good golfer. He's got a good stick too.
Yeah, man. What would be real cool is I'm going to talk to him about this too. Is at some point, maybe not this year because we're just getting off the ground, but maybe next year, get
the golfer gang together for a tournament.
The whole crew together and do like a big weekend tournament somewhere in the middle for everybody. I mean, there's going to be guys all over, but
right.
Destination, and let's do it.
I agree. I'm down.
That'd be dope, right?
That's a little, I don't know. We might have to travel a little further than that with these guys, Mike. Yeah, but let's start wrapping this up. We got to go to the 17 par three, which is actually the one I have ranked second hardest. I don't know. I just hate it. I can never put it on the screen. I can never land it.
It definitely looks longer than it is.
You get in one of those sand traps, forget about it. You got to protect it by the bunkers.
It's a good 10 foot deep.
If you're like Scrounge was up here last year, he was up on the hill, up like on the left. You miss really far left high, coming down, trying to land that green is really fun. It's funny to watch. It's just there's really nowhere to land the green. You can't miss right. You can't miss left.
You never want to go.
You want to miss really. If you're gonna miss on that hole, you want to miss short. I think if you're gonna miss, and
give yourself room to play with.
Absolutely. And
play for the par. Don't go for the birdie. If you're going for the green, you're going for the birdie. It's not going to happen most of the time.
No. So it's just another one of those pain in the ass par
threes. Hardest green on the back nine, though.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Hardest green to land. You got the false front. You got the dip that doesn't look like it's there.
It'll keep going down that front too.
Yep.
And it will roll to the right on it.
Yep. Absolutely. But then you get some forgiveness going to the easiest hole on the course, which I actually agree. It's the easiest. Although if you miss right, you're in trouble. But you can really go at it. If you miss left, you're not in trouble at all. It's pretty safe shots from over there.
That bunker in the middle now too.
They do have a bunker in the middle. But I mean, I've almost greened this hole on really, really good drives. Been about 50, 60 yards short on a real good drive. I've scored on it a few times. The green's pretty easy. I love the apron on the right of this green that he did a lot of that bent grass around the greens.
Love it.
It's just so pretty. If people that haven't played Freer Park, we're not exaggerating.
Right.
We really aren't.
Sand traps are beautiful now.
Sand traps are the tee boxes.
Yeah, the tee boxes, the sand traps, the price you pay compared to going some of these other places I go and I pay $60, $65 to go play these courses. And there was one place, I don't want to name it, but I went there this year. There was something going on at Freer, so we couldn't get out or whatever the case may be. It was a tournament. It was a Saturday. I had a random Saturday I could play. We went to this one course. I get up there, pay $60, and first two holes looking nice. It was a little wet. It was early morning, so whatever. Get to the third hole, it's aerated. Get to the fourth hole. It's aerated all the way up till 16. They're aerated. No one said nothing to me. No one did. You know what I mean? I just spent $60 on a halfway.
Dude, number one, my belief, if I own a business
rule,
if I own a golf course, I told Mikey this and I own a business. First thing I would say when they make a tee time, I would say, listen,
prices go down as soon as it's aerated.
Right. I would say, is it getting aerated? I said, prices are cut in half. If you want to play.
That's what I mean. If you told me $30.
Some people might not.
That's where you do where it's okay for gimmies.
Right.
Aerated greens.
Right. But some people might not want to pay $5 for an air raid. Don't tell me when I'm there. Don't tell me when I find out and I get to the first hole.
I was 40 minutes away from home at the time. Like I wanted to go play a different place.
Yeah, don't do that. You know, post it on your page when you make the tee time, big letters. And when people call and make a tee time to say, hey, listen, you know, the greens are going to, I think the way to do it really is Freer Park does it right. Do the front, you know, one weekend and then the back. No, don't do the whole course. You know?
You're losing some tee times, but in the long scheme of things, it doesn't. Who cares? You're still getting the business is rolling in opposed to pissing people off to where I'm not going back there now.
You know, absolutely.
Freer Park, Fir Park did a good job this year aerating.
You could, it wasn't really, you weren't,
it wasn't noticeable.
No. You know what and I mean? When you have a good crew,
whereas I've gone to places and it still looks like they never even put sand down.
Or they put too much sand.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know. So let's wrap things up. I know we've been going on a while. I think our recording went well. I think the quality went well. I could hear
Yo, Mike, just tell him this is the last one regardless, bro.
We're not real.
Listen, it's not
going to take three for Fir Park.
It's not going up if it's bad. That's the thing. That's the rule. That's the number one rule.
Well, then we're moving on to something next.
I'm really excited.
Audio sounded good the whole time. I think we'll be okay.
And I'm really excited about the Golfer Gang as well and our future and the spring. I'm excited for the Cape trip. I'm just excited for golf. Yeah,
there's
in general.
A lot of big things coming, man. There's definitely a lot of big things coming, especially I really think, like I said, when you guys jumped on mine, you really motivated me once you started this to get back on my shit with the pitch, putt, and puff. So I think us working together, obviously Mikey along, and then Jay's just going to be Jay. He'll show up to golf and do whatever I need him to do. I get shout out to Jay, though. He lets me use his house for the studio. It's easier to get guests there and everything else. But I think like really working together, the content we're going to be able to produce, it's going to be something different, man. It's because it's really two different groups of people, like two groups of guys that are getting together that are all doing the same shit, but like just a different way.
Yeah, we're doing the same shit at the end of the day, playing the game we love, trying to grow the game we love.
Yep.
And listen, I love what you do. I've said many times, I love that Sunday loop. Anytime that there is not a amateur tour event, I am in on Sundays. Yeah, there's a lot of them this year.
If you guys want to play on Sundays and you give me an advance where I can ask for the third tee time, I'll pretty much guarantee it. And if I don't have it, you guys are
there's going to be times that he does the tour and I won't be.
Right. So Michael even join you when I'm playing.
Yeah, I just saved your number today, Mike. So that's dope. Yeah. Right.
Gotcha. Sweet. Good. Awesome. Well, let's wrap it up. Thank you for tuning in. RGB, thanks for hopping on.
I mean, I love this shit. You know that.
Absolutely, man.
I'm glad you guys set up everything without me is what I'm happy about.
Can you believe it? That's what I was like. Roger's going to be proud. I tried calling you about one question, then we figured it out. So
I'm proud.
So I'm psyched. Proud. I'm really excited, man. I'm excited to see how this sounds, and I think it's going to sound good. I feel good about this time. Okay. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will catch you next episode. This is the Upstate Golf Guys. Thank you for tuning in. And one more special shout out.
Yeah.
Nate from Acorn Hills. We are officially ambassadors. So Upstate 15 is the code at checkout for 15% off. Nate's a great dude. I really want to see him grow.
You get him on the podcast?
He's coming on. He wants to come on.
He's a great dude. He's a really good dude.
I love what he's all about. So I'm really psyched also about it, you know, just being able to help him and being an ambassador and, you know, just being able to drop the code once in a while in our podcast and spread the love, you know?
So yeah, that's, ask him when you get him on. I don't want to blow it up, but ask him about that tag.
Okay. I read about it, and that's one of the questions. It's really cool. Cool he's dude.
Got interesting he's
got,
thing going on
and there. I think he's got a really shot, a good chance to blow up with what he's got. I think he does too. So it's Upstate 15 at checkout for a 15% discount. discount. Sorry about that, Nate. That's acornhillsco.com. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Go for good.
Bye.